Good evening to everyone here. Greetings. If we could first just bow our heads and start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we're so blessed to be here tonight, Lord, to have hearts that want to praise your name, Lord. And I just pray that everyone here's heart is glorying in you tonight, Lord. And it's such a blessing to be able to praise you, Lord, and to give thanks to you for all that you've done, Lord. And I just rejoice tonight, Lord, for all that you've done. I just pray we can be thankful, Lord. I pray that you can move in our hearts tonight, Lord. If there's any here, Lord, that still have not accepted this, Lord, or still have not decided to walk with you, Lord, I just pray that you can use all these young people, Lord, and your beautiful message, Lord, to get through, Lord. For we know this is all about you, all about glorying in you and giving you praise, Lord. And I just pray that you bless this evening, Lord. I just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel somewhat emotional tonight. The singing may have done that. But just to see all the people here, just to see everybody here come to listen, it's a blessing. It really is. Pulling in the parking lot tonight, my heart it's just a rejoicing thing to see that in a dark world that we live in today, that you have people fill a parking lot to hear about Jesus, and it's such a blessing to me. It humbles me greatly. And tonight I just want to speak shortly, briefly, on the most important account in history, the most important account ever, the most important account of tonight for each one of us. I just want to speak about the account of Jesus Christ, something that to me is very real, something that to me is dear to my heart, that I'm passionate about. I understand that most of you here, most people that are sitting here are grown up in some sort of religious setting. Most of us here have grown up going to church. And maybe this has kind of just become casual. This is just kind of something ordinary for some of us. Sundays are for church, Mondays are for work. And maybe this isn't very important. But I just plead with you tonight just to open up your heart. I just plead with you tonight to make this important. Just to be attentive tonight and to hear what the Lord has for you. I just also plead that if anybody here is clinging on to something that's happened in the past, whether it's a baptism or something that's happened in the past, whether it's an experience you had one night, I just plead for us to just put them aside tonight. To not hang on to anything. If you've been going to church or you've been professing to be a Christian for 20 years, I just plead that tonight you just put it aside. And don't hold on to something that's happened. Don't hold on to an experience. Let's not talk about when we got saved or when we got converted, but let's talk about, are we now converted? Are we now saved? Let's bring it to something that happens now. What's going on in your life? I just want to share on that tonight. I just want to just lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We know the Bible says that nobody can come to the Father except Jesus Christ would draw them. But we also know that if we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, He will draw all men to Himself. So it's a simple task for me tonight is to lift up the name of Jesus. And He will draw you. And it's up to you what you will do. But it takes humility. Back in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin. And God had designed it just how He wanted it. He designed it so that He could walk with man and talk with man. That He could have a great relationship with man. It was perfect. It was a beautiful setting. Then sin entered, and from that point, every man was born into sin. The world got dark. From that very moment, the world got dark and sin entered in man and men started to do things that were not intended by God. At that point, every single man that was born needed a Savior. Every single person needed a Savior. And life turned into turmoil. There was no peace, no light, no love, no mercy. And men started at that point to long for a way out. In Genesis 3:15, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to Satan, "and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And from that point, God started to enlighten everybody about a Savior. He started to show through prophets. He started to show through His people about eventually there's going to be a Savior that's going to redeem you from this sin. You see, these people were in a perfect state, and all of a sudden, they're in turmoil, they're in darkness, they're no longer walking with God. And people start looking for a way out. And God starts to show them through the Old Testament, through the Old Covenant, through the prophets, about a Savior that's going to come, a Redeemer that's going to take you out of this spot. I can almost imagine people that are sitting around the fire talking about this. Their lives are miserable. Their hearts are wanting to do things that they know they shouldn't do. They're filled with the lust of the flesh, and they're thinking, when is this Redeemer going to come? When is this Savior going to come? When is this King going to come? And people start to long for this. And people start to wait for, is it going to be tomorrow? Isaiah speaks about a virgin's going to conceive. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And people hear these words and they look around and wonder when this is going to come. When are we going to be delivered out of this bondage? All this weight that's on our shoulders. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet that's like unto me." Moses talks about somebody that's coming that's better than me. Job, he speaks about a Redeemer. Then there was 400 years of silence, where men's hearts were just so wicked, waxed gross. 400 years of silence. No speaking of Jesus. No speaking of a Savior. 400 years in a time of the Bible doesn't seem like long, but 400 years is a long time for darkness. And then there was a stirring out in the wilderness. And somebody starts speaking of this Redeemer, this Savior. Somebody starts speaking about somebody that's going to be coming soon, that's going to deliver us from this sin, that's going to deliver us from this bondage. Think about you being there. If you had been waiting for this and waiting for this, and you haven't heard about anything for so long, and all of a sudden you start to hear, and people flock to this. Who is this? Is this the Messiah? And he started preaching the same message that's preached today, that we need to repent from our sins, that we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that we need to be converted, that we need to turn from our old way. You see, this way of bondage that everybody wanted delivered from is not going to make it into heaven. This baggage, this doing what you don't want to do, being in turmoil, and all of a sudden out of darkness comes a light, and Jesus Christ is born. The angel tells Joseph that he has come to save his people from their sins. Finally, a Redeemer has come. And the whole world is going to turn to Him. But it doesn't work that way. Because men love darkness rather than light. But I just think of John the Baptist when he looks at Jesus. It was mentioned this morning, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." What a beautiful passage. We got a man that loves Jesus with everything he has. And he sees Him. And his eyes fall on this Master, this Savior, this Redeemer, this King. 4,000 years of darkness, and a light has come into the world to save men from this bondage and this sin. I think of Andrew. Andrew sees Jesus and is astonished and follows Jesus. And I like to think of it as him running. He runs back to Peter. This group, this small group of fishermen, this little family that's been waiting for this Messiah through all the darkness, And I can picture him running through there and saying, "We have found the Messiah. We have found him." And there's no question in anybody's mind. They turn, they drop everything, and they follow him. There's no doubt. There's no wonder. There's no confusion. It's simple. We've been waiting for this. We don't like our flesh. We don't like the sin that's hanging over us. We want freedom. We don't like being shackled hand and foot. And it's easy. There's one thing to do. There's one thing to do. To follow him. To follow him in everything that he does. And Jesus came preaching a perfect way out. He came preaching the plan of salvation, which once again has not changed yet today. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess with our mouth. We need to believe. We need to be baptized. If we want to be delivered from this state, Jesus coming is not just enough. You must submit to him. Why would it be so hard? He gave a way to be born again, to have a new life. Something that nobody can do on their own. Nobody can do on their own will. They need a heart transplant. And then he sealed his testimony. He sealed his testimony. He sealed his message with his death. Our beautiful Savior, our beautiful King, somebody that in the last 4 years I've gotten to love so much. I've gotten to worship and thank. Somebody that was so meek and lowly. Somebody that was so honest and humble. Somebody that never was, as we talked about this morning, didn't go through these things. He was pure and he was perfect and he was humble and he was honest. And any one of us would just love to sit at his feet and listen to him. And they took him and they beat him. And they spit upon him. They beat him so bad his bones were showing. They took their hands and they ripped his beard off his face. And this lowly, humble man that just came to save you and me goes to the cross as a beast. To die a most cruel death. So that we can have him. So that we can have a relationship. So that we can be delivered. So that we can be like it was back in the garden. It's not for religion. It's not for church schedule or church status. It's for a relationship with him. And a relationship that doesn't need to be told that you have to do things. But a relationship that just longs to follow him. Because you have a heart that burns after him. This is being born again. This is salvation. It's a heart that doesn't want the world. That doesn't want sin. It's a heart that says, "Lord, please keep me from sinning against you." He didn't go through all of this torment so that we can be casual. He didn't. So that we can be relaxed. So that we can sit here and think we're pretty good people. That we go to a pretty good church. And every single person in this room today knows where you're standing. Are you going through the motions? Are you relying on what other people think? Or have you been born again? Have you surrendered to this flesh? Or have you given it all up for Jesus? Sometimes we think Jesus comes to give us this nice, quiet, peaceful life. Jesus didn't come for that. He came so that he could live in us and be a witness inside of us. So that we could be a light to this dark world. We hear the words born again all the time. So much that we can easily say that we're born again. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all our soul, all of our mind, all everything we have. It's just something that consumes a person. And you'll know whether or not you have it. You talk to a young married couple or an engaged couple and you see what's burning in their heart. And Jesus far exceeds that. Is that real in your life? If you're some rebel that's come off the streets tonight that never heard about Jesus, it's for you. But what if you're somebody that's been professing to be a Christian for years, but you've never had this relationship, and that's why you've struggled so much? It's about overcoming. Grace. Grace is something that gives us power to overcome sin. We get so confused about all these terms when it's simple. We don't want to sin against Jesus. Being born again is walking through a field and seeing a treasure that you have to have. So much so that you sell all that you have. Every last thing without questioning it. And you buy the field so that you can have the treasure. That's being born again. It's not hanging on to the truck. It's not hanging on to the piano or whatever it is. It's selling all that you have. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who have no possessions. They don't have any excuses. And they go back and they grab that treasure and they hold that thing so dear to them, they never give it up. There's no room for this religion and that kind of relationship. It's a love that passes everything. It's a perfect love. And there's no way you're going to do anything that's going to hinder that love. Offenses don't come because you don't care. You laid down your life. And if you fall into sin, it's a disaster. You fall on your knees and you cry out to God for help and for forgiveness because it tears your heart apart. I feel like a lot of people want to get saved. They want change. They fall on their knees and they pray. And they expect some magical thing to happen. They expect everything to just change. They're wondering why a dove didn't land on their shoulder. So when they get up and they're still the same person, they're wondering what happened. They think that God isn't hearing them, didn't answer them. Salvation comes by believing. It's getting up and believing. And believing comes by faith. Faith that you're going to walk in truth. The Lord saves you so that you can walk in truth. He doesn't just snap his fingers and everything goes away. And that leads to following the Bible. Following the commandments of the Bible. It leads to power in your life. It leads to growth. It leads to this feeling of, I don't want to sin. It leads to a feeling of righteousness and holiness. This is salvation. This is the new birth. I feel that some get off their knees and say, well, I must be saved. They go on the rest of their lives thinking something happened and they still just fall and fall and fall. They don't ever surrender to the perfect will of God. Or some give up. And I know you cannot work for your own salvation. But your salvation is going to result in works. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. And being a Christian is not for your own good. It's not so that you can go to heaven. It's not so that you can even be a witness and lead people to Christ. Being a Christian is simply to glorify Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. You were created for that only reason. You were not created to be this or that. You were created to serve God and to glory in God. Let's be honest with ourselves. I plead with you people. By rebelling against this, you're not rebelling against your parents or the church. You're rebelling against the perfect God who died for you. By pretending you're a Christian, you're hurting Christ. Christ is the one that died for you. You may be able to fool your church or your parents, but you cannot fool God. You cannot fool Jesus Christ. And I believe that when you die and you face the judgment, and your end is hell, I believe a tear-filled Jesus Christ is going to be binding your hand and feet and throwing you there. A tear-filled Christ has said, I went through all that so you didn't have to go through this. I paved the way. What happened? Why didn't you follow me? The whole thing is about Him. We need to humble ourselves. Jesus deserves your love. Jesus deserves it. He's the only one that's done this. He deserves your commitment. I came across a touching story that I'll close with. There was a group of gypsies that were forced to cross a swollen stream, overflowed stream. And a great number of them died. But a young man found his mother. He was trying to save his mother, and his mother kept clinging to him. And he would push her away, and he would say, "Let go, mother, and I can save you." But she didn't heed to him. She wouldn't let go, and she drowned. And at her funeral, the son stood by the casket weeping and said over and over again, "How hard I tried to save you, mother, but you wouldn't let me. How hard I tried to save you, but you wouldn't let me." Don't let that be the cry of Jesus Christ when you die. Just submit. I plead with you. I lived 29 years in a state of sin. And I beg for you to submit. Don't let that be your testimony, I plead. The Lord bless each one of you.